Amen. Lord, we thank you for another great, wonderful night with you, Lord. All of your children here tonight, Lord, not all of them, but just a small portion of them. We thank you for it. Father, we know that tonight we're going to have an open heaven. We're going to see our prayers answered because we trust you to back up what we pray. And I praise you, Father, because we know the promises. We use the promises. And Father, we thank you for those promises as well. We ask, Father, that you keep us on this road of holiness and perfection in you, Lord. We want to look like you. We want to talk like you. We want to act like you. And we praise you, Father, for doing that in each and every one of us, Lord. And we thank you for it. A lot of people out there, Lord, that call themselves Christians think we're fanatics when we say we want to look like you. But I believe that's why you came back, is to have our great union with you, Lord. And I praise you for it. And I thank you, Father, for going to the cross for us and giving us that opportunity to come to you in a mighty way. And just like Adam walked in the cool of the morning with you, Lord, I said, what we want to, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to anoint Pat to do and say the things that you would have him to say, and it's going to be a blessing for everybody. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to fellowship with believers all over the world. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Lana, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. I wanted to share a praise report. We prayed for Maximus and Theo on Tuesday night because they were fevering, and the Lord took us through a little trial. That night, they continued to fever. I didn't even bother to measure their temperatures. It was scary hot. And in the morning, I checked on them again, and they were fevering. And I was on my way out the door to run some errands, and I was thinking to myself, man, this is kind of scary. They're not supposed to fever this long. And so as I was driving to do my errands, I went to war in the spirit, commanding just that it's all gone. I'm not receiving it. We're not going to put up with this. And then once I said what I needed to say, I just went to praising the Lord. And before I got home, my mother-in-law gave me a bunch of Tylenol that she had on hand for infants. And because she knew my boys were fevering, and I took it. I figured, you know what, I can take it home and throw it away if anything. But I thought to myself, Lord, if those boys are still fevering as badly, you're going to have to give me a lot of grace not to give them this Tylenol, because I'm continuing to cast down fear. And I knew I had to war against my imagination. And praise the Lord, I got home. Maximus was on his feet and already compensating for the last day that he was not around the house. And Theo was back on his feet by yesterday evening, and they've been doing great ever since. And I'm just so grateful, so happy to see my boys back to normal and not having scary fevers and all that. And it's all praise to the Lord. That Tylenol did not even get open. The Lord gave me the grace to not even think about it. And it's been in the trash since the day before yesterday. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Woo, Lord of God, thank you, Jesus. Taking that fever away from them babies. Yeah, Dave, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I got to talk a little bit this weekend to my son and my sister, daughter-in-law briefly. You know, they kind of had a little bit of a wall up, right? Because they were very Catholic. He became very fanatically Catholic. And she was growing up in the Catholic Church, so very much tied into it, you know, and they didn't want to hear anything I really had to say. But, you know, by the grace of the Lord, and I thank the Lord for this, he caused, which I knew this would happen because I'll tell you what the test I did. He caused this priest that they're under to show his face of who he, what he's like. And it caused her a lot of problems because she was in the music ministry and she was having issues, and so was the rest of the people with him, because he was doing things that are strange, you know, just being very in control of everything and not really paying attention to what people are saying, doing his own thing and hurting a lot of feelings, you know, and saying, like she gave her instance, she'd be in the middle of the song almost then, and he'd just start talking. She didn't get a chance to even finish the song she was playing and stuff like that. And just little things to disrupt. And I think I told you here last time that they were in a meeting, her and her dad and this priest, and they were trying to go over things and figure out what's going on. And she said, well, I just need like 4 or 5 days off, because she was getting all stressed out, just to get away for a little bit. And then he turned around and said she resigned from her position because she was the organist, you know. That was the kind of stuff he was doing. And I'm glad, I'm so happy. And she was all, you know, she's so, you know, she kind of, they're very upsetting for them to have this all to happen. But it showed the wolf, because he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. And a lot of these ministers are like that. Very, you're basically, if you're a sheep and they're a wolf, they're out to destroy, to maim you, rip you apart. And they have no conscience about what they're doing is right and wrong. What they think they're doing is right because it's their right. They're the wolf, just like Pharisees. I seen it before they got married, because when I was at the church that day, and I seen him walking up, and I was standing next to her father at the front of the church, and he was walking up. I thought, he looks like the priest. I'm going to give him a test. And I said, oh, welcome to, and I can't remember what the church name was. And I just shook his hand, you know, had a good time with it. And he says, well, thanks for welcoming me to my church. I've only been here for, you know, he got into that my thing, my church. Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you are. You're a wolf. Wolf in sheep's clothing, because everything's yours. So you're not here. It's not God's church. It's not God's people. It's mine, you know. So anyway, so that happened. And I got to talk to him about sheep, wolves in sheep's clothing a little bit, you know, because it's hard for people to hear this coming from a traditional church to know this is what you just saw. You just saw the wolf. And I says, I'm so glad you got to see it. I'm glad your eyes are open, I said. So you can understand what you can see, what's out there. And I said, there's many wolves in the church. And I experienced a lot of wolves. So and that was why I gave him that test. But I couldn't tell him that back then when he got married about 2 or 3 years ago, because they didn't work or hear anything. I just had to say until this weekend, finally. So I thank the Lord that this happened, and that I was able to break down these walls, and they can start trusting me a little more. You know what I have to say? I'm not against their religion. I'm trying to show them that what goes on in these churches and the deception. People will come on like sheep, but they're wolves. You know, you got to just watch them, especially the leadership. And one of the things he would do, and I when I was there at the Catholic Church, is they're real good about not really quoting a lot of scripture. They don't really go far into scriptures, but they like to quote their leadership in the past. Their other priests or other writers, they like to go into that, because most people don't read that stuff. So they become the expert in the room all the time. So they'll go someplace nobody's been. And that just reminded me, you know, when I was thinking of that, when I saw that, it's like when Paul wrote, he says, I in Corinthians 4:4-6, he says, I apply these things to myself and Apollos because of you, brothers and sisters, that through us you may learn not to go beyond the things that are written. So none of you is puffed up, you know, in favor of one against the other. That's what these people will do. They will find something above and beyond the scriptures, and they'll go there, and they'll stay there, and they'll ride there, because it puts them in a position of hierarchy, authority, and they've got it over the others. And I could see that going on, but you know, people in those churches are just, they think, well, that's it. He's the one. He's the man. He's the man of God. You know, I'm not. I was just so happy, and I praise the Lord that he got him out of that. And I just want to give the Lord thanks for that. And you know, I'm thankful. So thank you, Jesus. I just want to say that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for revealing the wolves in the sheep's pen. Yeah, go ahead, Mariana.
Hi, can everybody hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I just have a prayer request. I have been battling with an ear infection for like the past 24 hours, and it's just like I'm casting it down, all this pain and this swelling, and if you all could just pray and agree with me.
Okay. All right.
And it's gone.
We're going to pray, and God's going to take it away from you, Marianna. In the name of Jesus right now, we command this ear infection to go from her. In the name of Jesus, we command the pain to go. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Marianna's ear is completely healed now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Marianna. In the name of Jesus. Pain, go now. Body, be whole in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that Marianna is completely healed. We believe what your word said. Your word says by his stripes you were healed. She was healed 2,000 years ago, and she is healed now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that the pain is gone. The ear infection is gone, and she can hear perfectly. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your covering of the blood, Lord, over her, that this stuff won't come back on her anymore, in Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. It is done, girl. My, 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 my. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Go ahead, Pat. It's done, Marianna. Just thank God for it. It's done. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to praise the Lord for household salvation and deliverance and the light. Father, we thank you for the light that you, even in what Dave was speaking about there, Lord, you're breaking down the barriers. You're opening up people's eyes, Lord, and we just thank you for household salvation that you bring. You've called us to be the salt of the earth, Lord, and that's the salt even where we're at, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, that you are bringing forth your word in us and in our families, and that you're preserving and delivering. And we thank you for that strength and that life that you've given us, and that you're going to pour out onto the rest of the world in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all I wanted to pray.
Amen. We believe it with you. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, before I came on tonight, I thought I would listen to a little bit of what the girls put on, ladies, on UBM website on eBay. No, excuse me, on YouTube.
Well, I hope we're not on eBay. We're not trying to sell nothing.
No.
So, except the gospel.
Yeah, and it was the true gospel saves. Look not at things which are seen. That's part one with David Ells. And this might help with the healing thought and everything else, because David is comparing the gospel just like we receive prayer and belief for healing, because he said the gospel is the same way. He says we believe that, you know, and he likes to bring in 2 Corinthians 3:18 about behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, which is Jesus, seeing Jesus in the mirror. And he says that's all done by faith. He said that's the same faith you use for healing. That gospel is the same faith for everything. You believe what the word says and you act on it by faith. You act on it until you see it manifest. And so when we're holding on to any of the gospel promises, it's all by faith. for righteousness, for coming in the image of Jesus Christ, for overcoming sin. You believing what he said he took care of it at the cross. And because of that, it is so, but we just hold on to that in our life until we see it happen by faith. That's the gospel, for everything in the gospel, which was good because, you know, it helped because people, we want to see, we see Jesus in the mirror. We're doing that by faith. We're doing it by faith. We're holding on to our faith for like Alana, for the healing. We're doing it by faith. And the Lord hears our prayers on those things. We just got to be confident that he hears and he's going to do what we ask him to do. Because if it has, he said, if it has anything to do with what we're not, what we're against in a sense, and against like that's contrary to the promises we have, he's on our side. We just have to hold on to it when we pray for it. And he's on our side for it too. He wants to make that happen. So I thought that was a good message he had in there. If you ever get a chance, it's not a bad message, the true gospel that saves. Anyways, I just wanted to share that because Michael mentioned coming in the image of Jesus Christ and Lana mentioned healing. He talks about them both in the gospel. So,
amen. Are you trying to say that there might be some in there that might be bad? Is that by the way you said that? I'm just asking, Dave.
What do you mean by, oh. No, I haven't come across anything yet.
Okay, well, praise God. I'm just messing with you, man. Praise God. Yes, Mariana, you're healed. I saw when I was praying and everybody else was praying, I saw a great wide lightning bolt go down through you. I've never seen anything like it before, so you're healed, girl. You're healed. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, hallelujah to the Lamb. All right. Yes, Missy, go right ahead.
I have a hard time getting my little things to come up at the bottom. I have to tap my screen to get them to pop up. We prayed for my next door neighbor. He had had COVID and he was in the hospital for a month and I talked to him a couple of weeks ago and he's been out for a while, but he said that he did nothing but sleep the whole time he was there. And I asked him if they put him on a ventilator and he said no. But anyway, there's Serbian and they go to a Serbian Orthodox church. And so I don't think it was long after we had prayed for him that I saw that he was driving because he was going through therapy and getting strength in his legs. And so I saw him sitting out tonight. I went to Pudge for a walk and I just, the Lord's been putting it into me to, you know, go and pray for him, you know, and that just popped into my head. So I went over and I talked to him and I said, good to see that you're out and driving and all. He said, yeah. I said, so you all back to, you got all your strength back. He says, it's getting there, you know. He says, and he mentioned about he has something, an issue with his foot on the bottom of his foot. He's something going on. He didn't say exactly what it was, but it bothers him at night and keeps him from sleeping. And I just really felt to, you know, I said to him, if you'll let me, there's something I'd like to do for you. And he goes, what's that? And I said, I'd like to pray for you. And he says, okay, you know, so after I did this, I was like, when I was walking around then, I was like, because I leaned down and I touched his foot and I actually touched his knees for a second for whatever. And I leaned down and touched his foot. I'm like thinking, did I completely stoop down? Because that's something big. I think I did. I don't know. I don't remember how I did it because I'm going through this trial with my knee that is healed in Jesus' name. But anyway, so I prayed for him. I had to slip that in there a second. I prayed for him and he said, amen. And I said, by Jesus' stripes, you're healed. And I said, you know what that means? I said, you know what that means? And he said, yeah. I said, you know, Jesus took the beating that you deserve for sin. And he said, yeah. So I was kind of surprised he understood that. And I said, you're healed. And he says, I hope so. I said, you are. I said, it's, you know, Jesus that did it. It's not, you're not me, you know? And I said, you just keep speaking the good report, not the bad report, like the 10 spies. You keep speaking that you're healed and you're blessed. You just speak the blessings over yourself. And so, you know, he said, thanks. And I said, well, thank the Lord. He's the one that did it, you know? And anyway, so I was just like, wow. And then afterwards, I'm like, as I was walking up the street with Fudge, I'm thinking, oh, I should have told him to stand up and walk around, you know? But I'm kind of like new at this, you know, kind of like praying for people, you know, like wanting to, you know, when the Lord puts it on me to, you know, I'm more open to doing that kind of thing. I'm not used to doing that, you know, and saying, well, do what you know, stand up and walk around or whatever, you know, like we hear Michael talk about that he tells people or whatever. But anyway, so I thank you, Lord, that Pedro is healed. And whatever that issue was with his foot, you have healed it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the good report that he's going to tell me and that his legs are recovered and he's in full strength in his legs. And he doesn't need therapy anymore. I don't know if he's doing therapy, but anymore or not. But I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, for doing that for Pedro. And Lord, Lord, I want to ask you deliver him from smoking, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name. I just command that spirit of cigar. I don't know if he used to smoke cigarettes, I think, but he was smoking a cigar. And I just command that spirit of addiction, of smoking of any kind to go from him. And the next time that he goes to put something like that in his mouth, no matter what it is, that he will get a nasty taste. And Lord, even Lord, I just ask you to even take that desire away from him. And no withdrawal in the name of Jesus. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for doing that for Pedro. And that he be surprised, Lord, because I'm sure he knows that it's not good for him. So I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for doing that for Pedro.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And Lord. I have a prayer request for Merle and I. I don't know quite what to say because I don't want to give any details, but I discovered something that I need to talk to Merle about. And
well, just let me pray.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Missy to you, and I ask, Lord, that you give her grace and you give her wisdom in the things to say. And I praise you for it. And Lord, give her the boldness, but in grace and in love, Lord, to say whatever it is, it makes no difference to us. We know that you're going to work through Missy. And Merle's going to see the light of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you're going to be all bright, too. You're not going to be on low level. In Jesus' name. Amen.
And I thank you, Lord, for giving Merle ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord. And that, Lord, ultimately this, you use this to bring him out from among them, bring him out of the society, Lord. That he sees, Lord, that they have never been able to help him in the way that you want him to be helped. Lord, spiritually, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for just freeing him up, Lord, and from setting him free from rejection and fear of man and all these spirits that he's bound up in. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that all the power of the enemy is broken off of him and they cannot hold him in bondage anymore. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, give him a dream about it. I should do it. Just open up the door to him, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right, go ahead, Ray, or June, one of y'all, or both of you.
I don't have to. Great. When I think of myself, I think of, to sum it up, my life, I would say, is a life of prayer. On that note, I do believe that there are times with physical ailments that natural remedies is the way to go. And as an example, I remember my mother told me when she was a child, she had a horrific earache. I even think she was running a temperature. She felt like screaming. She said it was almost unbearable. And at some point, my grandmother had put a hot compress on her ear. And she said there was a burst and the fluid from her ear was released and she had no more pain. You know, that's just one example. I mean, when it comes to Marianne, if she'd like to, she can check out Duck. Is it Ducta? Whatever. Mm-hmm. And they have natural remedies. Some of them, instead of a hot compress, would be, peroxide, and many other natural remedies if she would want to go in that direction. It's, you know, up to her.
I'm out. Okay. Well, the only problem I see with even natural remedies, I know that in the past that they have worked with a lot of people. But as a child of God, walking with Jesus, you know, we want to glorify him. And when you depend and are in faith to believe that he's going to do it, he'll do it quickly. He'll do it quickly. And but anyway, that's the choices that we have to make. Is it going to glorify God or is it going to glorify man, you know, or the natural remedies, whatever you call it. Yeah. Go ahead, Rion.
It's the other one.
Oh, it's Claire. Okay, go ahead.
I have a testimony just quickly that I think will really bless Mariana. About 6 years ago, well, it could have been 5 years ago. Well, it was a long time ago, but the enemy did a weird thing with me for a period of 6 months. And then when I realized what he was doing, I was like, I'm on to you, you sucker. So it was linked with my cycle, and every month for 3 months, like the day before everything kicks into gear, I used to get the most intense earache. And I was living in a place where I don't know anything, so I couldn't rely on anything except God. And I just prayed. And then the next 3 months, that day before everything starts, I got the weirdest eye infection. All gross and yucky, and I just couldn't understand it. And each time I just said to the Lord, like, you made me a woman, like, this, there's no space for this kind of stuff on top of the normal stuff that I'm going to deal with as being a woman. So I just rebuke all of this in the name of Jesus, and whatever's trying to come on me, infirmities or, you know, whatever this is to make me weaker than what I already am, I don't accept it. I don't accept this in the name of Jesus. And those 6 months, Like, it was just, you know, one thing, but it was so intense and it was so sore, but it's gone and it's never come back. And it's all glory to God, because there was nothing that I did on my own. I didn't have anything. and I had no means to go anywhere or do anything about it except trust God. So we've prayed for you, and I believe that you're healed, and we believe the good report. And thank you so much for, you know, being weak and asking for prayer. That's what we do. We've lifted each other up. So thank you so much, sister, for letting us pray for you. Bless you.
Yeah, we have, we've been through that same trial of when we came out of pharmakia, then to then have an over-reliance on natural remedies, you know, because we were, how can I say, we were well versed in it, right? We had lots of knowledge about it, and we knew a lot about, you know, herbs and whatever else. And especially when we had little kids, you know, you don't want to say, oh, we don't have anything to give them. But in saying that, the more we have come out of that, the more we have seen God's healing. The more we have made it so that we have nothing else to trust except in praying, having faith, and believing what the word says, the healing has come every single time, and he's never failed us yet. Amen. Never failed us yet. And these three behind us can attest to that. We do not get earaches anymore. We actually are so blessed that we do not get ill. Even when this last week or so, when we've been through that trial, the Lord has spared the children so much. This moment I jumped onto one of the kids, we prayed, we anointed them with oil, and we believed what the scriptures said, and they were healed. If not immediately, it would have been that same night. They were that sleep, they were never were awake. They would sleep, the next day they were better, and I jumped onto the next one, went through the kids so quick that I don't think they can even remember or know really what happened. When it came on to Claire and myself, it took maybe a little bit longer. But I also believe we understand what James 1 says and what talking about patience and enduring in your trials and temptations. So I believe what we've prayed is the truth, that Mariana is completely healed, because that's what the word says. By the stripes of Jesus, she has been healed, and therefore there's no condemnation, you know, if someone does want, you know, we're not under a law that we have to use nothing. And we have in this, if you're in this group, you have to throw everything away. No, that's not it, because then you will suffer. And we've done that as well, put ourselves under a law. But when we have put ourselves in a position of weakness, like David talks about, we're in a wilderness and you have nothing else to rely on, then all you have is the scriptures, and all you have is to ask the Lord to give you faith so that you're not under law. Because I believe if you don't have the faith, then you put yourself under a law. Mariana, we agree with the prayers that says, by the stripes of Jesus, you have been healed. And you just hold on to it, and you just cast off that condemnation, fear, doubt, unbelief. You just keep warring against that, because we are in a war, and the enemy will try and take that crown away from you for enduring. That's the crown of life that's spoken about. I think it's James 1 as well. Yeah,
I remember one time where this guy was asking the Africans. Over in somewhere in Africa, I believe it was Uganda, why that they had such success when they prayed for their people for healing, and they would get miracles. He told him this. He said, we don't have the things that you have over in America. We don't have a hospital on every other block. We don't have the natural remedies that you have in all of these stores that you have. We have to trust God or die. which was a good testimony to me. In the days ahead, we're not going to have everything that we need, you know, like doctors and remedies, home remedies and stuff. I'm like, Rion, I'm not, you know, if you got your faith in that, go for it. You know, I'm not going to come against it. We do believe, and I do, primarily for 20 years now, 25 years now, in God, healing power in mine and my family's life. And of course, everybody else's too. But anyway, let's see what, Malcolm, we hadn't heard from you in a while, brother. You may talk.
Oh, I had muted myself. That was the problem with the toggle. I need an on-off switch that you push upward for on and down for up, down for off. I just wanted to chime in on this because some of us, you know, might suggest doing a natural remedy or something. I just don't want you to have to feel condemned about it. In fact, our family we just got a thermophore. We haven't had one for a good working one for a long time, and they're made at Battle Creek in Michigan. Really good, neat device. But the thing is, a lot of places don't have electricity, you know, to heat up your body, you know, to have a pad that brings the moisture and it heats you up. And the whole idea between hot and cold fomentations is you're just increasing circulation. So it brings the hot, brings in the, you know, the red blood cells and the cold takes it away with the white blood cells and whatnot. So anyway, it's just a natural thing that's going on there that you're helping the body with. But the thing is, what about people in prison? What about people in countries that, I mean, it takes quite a bit of work to do this whole hot and cold fomentation thing. You've got to have somebody out in the kitchen kind of running the show. It takes, first of all, it takes a lot of knowledge and experience and stuff, you know. And, you know, it works wonderfully, but it's just that I think a lot of us are really pushing toward trusting God in any situation that think about I don't want to mention names like there are businesses that are built by even the gospel. The way the gospel works is one person tells a bunch of people in those you know, like 10 people that they have talked to another 10 people each, and so you have this multiplying going on. So if I'm not saying the gospel has to be multipliable, you know, or duplicatable or whatever, it's just what it is. But I think it's important to be careful not to introduce things that are not multipliable, which is a lot of the natural remedies you just can't do in a lot of situations. You just don't have stoves or heat or, I mean, so anyway, that's why I think a lot of us want to just learn to walk by faith, even though we may have access to some of this stuff. So if you catch my drift, and we're coming to a situation soon where we most likely won't even have access to a lot of that stuff. Just we have it now, and we want to exercise our faith. Back to Ned.
Okay. Thank you, Malcolm. Besides that, you got to remember all this stuff, and I've got enough to remember still all of that garbage. You know, I really don't. I don't know what pine needle to do and how much to take a pine cone and make it, you know, I don't know none of that stuff. I'd be up the old creek, you know. I had to rely on Rion to call him up. He's over yonder in South Africa. I mean, Tasman, excuse me, Rion. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Ray. I saw you had your hand up, or you or you. Don't get me any condemnation, brother.
June stepped away for a moment. When she's okay. Back, I'll put my hand back up.
Okay, bud. All right. Yeah, David used to be in that stuff years and years ago. Him and his wife, and the Lord called him out of that. He said, you need to leave that alone. That didn't give me any glory. But, you know, but he's always said, and I have too, it's that if you have your faith in that, then go for it. You know. Yeah, David.
Yeah, I posted that in Romans, where we have to be weak to the weak. I mean, just because somebody else has more faith than somebody else does for something, we can't, the person that has the more faith can't look at the one that doesn't and say, hey, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. What's wrong with you? They can't do that. They got to be weak. You know, they got to realize where people are at and know that God accepts that person where he's at. He has no judgment on that. You know, it's equal. You know, I mean, that's one of the other things I talked about with Seth and Kayla was, you know, in religion, we have this hierarchy. They have that hierarchy. We look up, oh, this person's up here and this person's down here. I says, God looks at everybody the same. He might actually look at somebody who has more faith than somebody else because he respects faith. He has respect for faith, but he's not condemning anybody for that, you know, because they don't have as much faith as somebody else. He doesn't judge people like that. That's not God. You know, God's gracious. He's a gentleman. He's not going to, like Jesus said, he comes into the room and he's not there to make people feel uncomfortable. But, you know, I at the same time, you know, he did give the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm sure that's made some people feel uncomfortable. So it just depends where he's at, what he's saying at the time, you know. So that's all I can say.
Amen. Go ahead, June.
Mm-hmm. Okay, getting past the point that obviously I've been misunderstood by a lot of people.
Your audio is way down. All right, that's better. Go ahead. You go ahead and speak up.
Okay. I said getting past the point that obviously I have been misunderstood by most of you. My faith is strong. I know the Lord performs miracles. I know that people have literally raised from the dead in this generation. It's not a question about having faith in God. It's a matter, if there's a convenience of shortening a period of pain or whatever, that is not against God. I don't have a problem with it personally, but just to give you an idea, I think most of you are trying to have at least 2 weeks of food stored up or whatever. I'd like that to be explained to me, how that's any different. Because as I said to my sister the other day, you know, we can store up as much food or whatever that we're capable of doing, but I know the Lord's provision isn't there. It's like we have no food. It can be gone in a moment. So again, my faith is in God. It's not in man. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Okay. All right, who else? You know, it all goes back to this. The devil's defeated. He's always defeated. And our job is to find out where he is. And he's still in operation and destroy him. That's our job. Our job is to destroy the works of the devil. We cast him out. We defeat him. And we do whatever it takes to get rid of it. And that's the job of every Christian that calls himself a Christian. And we got to get rid of all of these things that we have been taught, these traditions of men. Yeah, but what about? Yeah, but what about this? Well, what if God is not on the throne? If he fell off the throne, he ain't going to do it. He's going to work his works through those who believe. And like we said a while ago, if that's what you've got your belief in, we're not, nobody's condemning anyone. This is a fellowship of believers. And as a fellowship of believers, we believe. And as far as storing up for 2 weeks, that's for other people to help them. We believe. We've seen it here. We've seen him multiply food. We've seen him multiply gasoline in our cars. We've seen all kinds of, read that Faith for All Things. It'll show you what we believe in. We believe in God. And we believe that God can do the things that he said he would do. And that's where the healing part comes in. And I'm just going to talk just a minute about healing. The healing part comes in, it's not you healing. But we have to get this mindset that, well, God's way over here somewhere, and I've got to try to get his attention on this person or myself in order to get healed. That's not it. He's right here. He's right here. When you got saved, Christ came into you, and he didn't leave half his gear back at the cross. He brought all that stuff that he had while he walked on earth with him, with you. And when you declare healing in someone, and you know for a fact that God's going to back up what he said in his word, and you trust him enough to do that, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to see healing. Just like I know Marianna before this broadcast is over, she's going to be completely healed. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And you're going to see the miracle of God just like that, if it hadn't already manifested. I believe it has. But anyway, I'm just saying that what we have to get out of is this mindset that God's somewhere off on his throne somewhere. We got to get his, hey, God, I'm over here. I need this person healed. Now, when you speak it, he is going to back up what he said he was going to do. He's not a man. He's not a God that lies. He is a God that will perform for those. And Dave Nelson is right. God does not have any people that he favors. But one thing he does favor is faith. Amen. And that's all I'm going to say about that. And it's just a mindset that we have about where God is. And, you know, the biggest problem with faith in anybody's deal is just this unbelief. It's doubt and unbelief that we have in us that's been actually preached to us by these apostate religions that are out there. When we understand who God is and who is in us, you're going to see miracles. Bam, 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 just like that. Because that's our job, is to go out there and destroy the works of the enemy. All right, I'm going to get off my soapbox. That's what I'm going to do. Go ahead, Geneva.
I was just going to say that, you know, the scripture, I mean, be it done unto you according to your faith. And Mariana's faith is that, you know, she's healed now. And so we all agree, and it's done here on earth as it is in heaven. And so she is healed. I just want to say, too, that I know, like, there's been a lot of times I've had trials of my faith where it's like the Lord wanted me to walk it out. You know, and I remember hearing a podcast where David talked about it, you know, just persevering and just the trial of your faith. And then I've had other times where the Lord just instantly healed me, you know. And I think, you know, the ones that took longer, God showed me so much stuff along the way, like, get this out of your heart, get this out of your heart, get this out of your heart. And it, you know, and it was all just to bring me closer to him. And then the ones where he just did it, it was just like, praise the Lord. Thank you, God, that, whew, you know, like there was one taken care of real fast. So I just, you know, I think it just depends on the trial. And, but I, you know, Mariana, she was over here earlier today too. And she walked it out. We went down to a little festival and then we came back and she dyed my hair for me. And so I know that she went about her day completely normal, as if nothing was going on, and nothing is going on because she is healed in Jesus' name.
You know, well, that's right. Sometimes we have to walk out of faith, you know. I've had that happen and still are walking things out, you know. So we have to have the mindset that God's going to do it, give him the glory. Anybody else? Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
I just say real quick, I know everybody else got their hands up. You know, I didn't grow up in a house of faith. My mom didn't have faith. My dad, you know, it wasn't until I really started trying to understand what this was all about. And I eventually ended up with UBM. I started learning more about faith and how to act on it. But, you know, if we come from an environment that didn't teach us faith and we had parents that didn't really walk by faith and they actually had none that we talk about here. I mean, there's a lot of things we're trying to overcome in our lives all the time, you know, especially the most impressionable years. So, you know, it's a struggle when you're trying to go against everything that you were brought up with, and then you got to turn 180 degrees. It's all by grace that you're doing this. You know, it's all by God that's helping you overcome these things. So, you know, it's all by grace, and it's all a progress. It's all a walk, and it's all something we come into. So, amen. Praise the Lord.
Go ahead, Joe. Or Isaac. I mean, I think Isaac was first.
That's all right. You know, I was actually, sorry, I'm about to take attention away from my wife. Oopsie. I love you, honey. Well, I just, I was going to ask for some prayer also for me. And, you know, we appreciate all you guys. You know, everybody's got wonderful things to say, and we really appreciate it. But at work, man, I'm getting beat up pretty bad. I'm like a punching bag right now, and it's pretty cool. This is certainly one way to carry my cross. And, you know, I'm pretty thankful for that. But, let me just kind of phrase this up quick. So I'm trying to commission this huge conveyor sorter system. It's highly complex. And I honestly don't know a whole lot about it, to tell you the truth. Kind of out of my element. But I'm by myself. I'm supposed to have help with me to commission. And they won't be here till they haven't been here all week. So anyways, the issue I'm having is, the company I'm trying to commission, they won't shut down for the allotted period of time that we have agreed upon for the contract, so I could commission their sorter, because it's all one piece of equipment. And they told me, nope, we're going to run, just make it work. And here's the thing. That is not how this works. It's, once I do this, I introduce a whole new set of problems into this existing conveyor system. And so I told them, okay, well, if it shuts down and you lose a ton of money, don't be upset with me. And they understood. They get it. Well, I did that. It shut down. Cost a lot of money, but that's part of it. They have to understand. Anyways, long story short, this is becoming a big deal, so much to the point to where even, not with me, but with my company in FedEx, you know, I'm, you know, thank God he's given me the knowledge to make ends meet for what they want. But it's to a point where we can't finish the job based on the allotted amount of time. And it could become a legal problem. But I'm the ground man here, and I'm the one getting hit. Man, I've been on phone calls all day, literally all day, called at night. you know, schedule is rapidly changing, and I'm trying to carry my cross gracefully. Because there's times I do feel a little bit upset because they're asking for something impossible, you know. And let me just wrap this up really quick here. So the thing is, I got a million people from the other side telling me, hey, you need to do your job like this. And I get it. I get it. They got quotas to meet, you know, everybody wants to look great. I get that. But the thing is, they haven't done this before too. And so it's frustrating. And you know, I'm just really not too zealous about what it is that I do anymore for work. So I'm just going to pray prayer. Y'all believe with me. And my prayer is going to be this, that God give me even more chances to carry my cross. That's what I want. That's exactly what I want. And I mean it from my heart. I know the dreams the Lord's given me, and I know what he's shown me. I know what he's told me, and I know the revelations he's given me, and I know what the word says. And I'm just going to pray. Y'all believe. Father, thank you, Lord, for your truth. What an amazing gift that really is. Just so amazing. And Lord, help me to continue carrying my cross, Father. I feel that that Lord, I have been carrying it, and Lord, I even feel at one point in time I fell a little bit short. But Lord, you know how to pick us up, and you do that. You do it for all of us, and you're continuing to do it. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And Father, I thank you for the cross, and I thank you for that you bore it. And, you know, there is nothing that can overcome us. And Lord, thank you for these trials that produce, you know, peaceable fruit. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. We believe with Isaac in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Joe, go ahead. Now, y'all remember that Pat's going to be talking tonight, so go ahead, Joe.
I'm going to talk about a little bit about my experience. Experience from my correction. I can do it afterwards after we finish here. It's not important now.
Go ahead.
Okay. On Friday morning, I did confess and Michael prayed for me about getting into the flesh. Well, during Friday, during the day, my right thumb starting to getting really sore. And well, I'm at home at home, Nora's house, sitting for 2 weeks. So I had to do everything for myself. By Saturday night, I can't do nothing with my right hand. It was really seriously hurt. And while I was praying that night, I know it was a correction. I got a vision of South Africa, they call it monster chips. It's like a monster chewing. Automatically recognizes he's chewing on me. And I was praying the Lord, and he says to me, he's praying on me. He's eating on me. He's munching on me. And the trial lasts for till yesterday afternoon and things. So it was 6 days. So it was a lesson well learned. It was really bad. It was bad, and it's a good experience for me. And thank you, Lord, for the correction or teaching me something. That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Okay. Malcolm, make it quick.
Yes, sir. So I just wanted to talk about what Isaac was, that situation at the workplace there. And God's a God of impossible, doing the impossible. Nothing's impossible for him. And I was just thinking about what David Eales tells the story about this lady, or maybe it was you, Michael, a lady that was having an impossible job at work, where they asked her to do something that was had never been done before, and she was able to have it done by noon. So anyway, Lord, I just I thank you for going to the cross isn't bad, but I also, you're the God of fixing the impossible. So I just thank you, Lord, for dealing with that situation. And who knows, maybe we can be praying here for that the impossible situation to be dealt with. What do you think, Michael?
Amen. I was just thinking about that, Isaac. You had the same type of situation here some time ago, where we prayed and God just gave you the wherewithal to get those jobs done quickly. Remember that?
Yeah. What was crazy about that, or not crazy, let me rephrase myself. What was miraculous about that was, Michael, we said before, when you commission something and then you're going to test it, there's always a trial and error and test and debug. You have to do it. Yeah. I've never in my career seen anything come up right the first time with this automation. Have you, Michael?
No, it don't happen unless God's involved.
Right. And it happened at Amazon, and this was an air hub, so this was like a really big deal, huge deal. I mean, you shut them down, you're starting to shut down other places in the country, or delay them at least. And it worked the first time. It was a miracle. And so, yes, hey, thank you, Michael, or Malcolm. I appreciate that. And Michael, for the remembrance, because I'm supposed to be here to April 19th. And let me make this real quick. I know I can't wait to hear what Pat Scott says. It's going to be awesome. But April 19th, I'm supposed to be out of here. But the contract was for 12, 13 hours a day. Usually we're doing like 90 hours a week or 80 something. And we finish on the day of. They want to give us 3 hours a day, maybe a few times a week. So this is really special. But I tell you what, you know, God's going to part these this Red Sea, ain't he? He's going to do it, and it's been done. Awesome. Thank Amen. You guys for this.
Amen. I just thank you, Father, for getting Isaac done days before he's supposed to, in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father, that he's going to, that you're going to get the glory, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, David.
Quick prayer just for Isaac. Thank you, Father. Again, I agree with Michael. At the same time, Lord, I ask that you give him peace of mind, that the phone calls stop or the harassment stop, so he can sit there and focus on the work and give him time to look things over, look at the ladder diagrams, whatever else he has to look at, figure out how this is all working out, why things are a problem. Lord, make this open up his eyes, see what it is. Any hindrances in the name of Jesus Christ, we bind them now. We cast off any witchcraft coming against them now in the name of Jesus Christ. Any word curses in the name of Jesus Christ. Any bad, ill feelings coming against them, we bind that now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, go ahead, Pat. Patrick, you might go ahead.
Is this a go ahead? I can start.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
You've got the floor, brother.
Okay. You shot me into it.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael, for giving us this opportunity, because it's helping us. I know it's helping me push me out of my comfort zone, I guess you might say. And so I appreciate that. Father, we thank you for this night, Lord. We thank you for the goodness, the truth, the word, and your presence that you put in our lives, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the work that you are doing in these last days, that you are bringing to fruition that temple that you have designed at the beginning. And so we thank you, Lord, that you are working on us and you're working in the world to bring it to into manifestation. And we thank you for it. Just ask you that you would bless us tonight. Bless me with the ability just to follow your leading. as I go through this path, but also, Lord, I just trust you to speak to each and every heart, Lord, that you are the one that touches our hearts with your truth, your word, and your presence. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to start with, I got to go back here. Sorry, I'm on a sorry about that. The Lord took me to a scripture in 2 Timothy 3:1, and I kind of wanted to start there. And this kind of brought me up short when I first read this, not this time, but when I first started to understand this verse or these verses. But in 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, "But know that this, that in the last days grievous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." And as I remember when I first read that, and I thought about this being in grievous times in these last days, and this being a picture of the culture or the world and all the environment around us. And then I became really aware of what God was talking about in the next verse. And he said in verse 5, "Holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof, from these also turn away." And become, I don't know if it was painfully aware, but I became aware of the fact that God was, Paul here was talking about the church, the people of God. He's talking about all these conditions in the people of God. And I'm reminded of the verses in Matthew 5 as Jesus is talking about talking to the disciples and saying, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men." And I was, as I was thinking about that, sorry, I'm going through a program here on my iPad because I can't spin through it on the computer. But the people of God, and as Jesus was saying, that we are the salt of the earth, or what, however, how others have taught it is that we are the preservative. We provide a preservative factor to the earth. And in these last days, that preservative has been neutralized. And I was led over to Isaiah 58:1. Isaiah 58 is about the scriptures that God is describing the fast. And obviously this was the scriptures that Jesus had read as well. It said 58:11, "And the Lord will guide thee continually," as a result of this fast, "and satisfy thy soul in dry places, and make strong thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And then the next verse, it kind of jumped out at me, and I believe is very significant to our time right now. And it said, and I believe this is talking about the Lord Jesus, and it said, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. And I think God was saying here that those that come out of Jesus will be the ones that will build these old waste places. Isaiah 61:1 is the verse that Jesus when he came into the ministry, used this verse or this set of verses, and it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he stopped there. And I believe the second part of this verse is that which is going to be fulfilled in these later days, these last days that we're in. And it continues on and said, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. And then in verse 3, he says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them the garland of ashes, et cetera, et cetera. That thing, that's where it jumped out at me, was the part that says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. And obviously David has taught us through his teachings that Zion represents the bride, and the fullness of God within us, and this environment of the presence of God. And Jesus here, or God is here, I believe, talking to Jesus and saying that he came to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. And then in verse 4, it says, and they shall build the old waste places. They shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. I believe the Lord has not only called us in these last days for a specific purpose, but he has... one of those purposes is that we are to build, restore the foundations that have been lost over the generations. One of those foundations is the foundations of sanctification. I think to a great degree, the modern day church today has lost its necessity or its feel or its need for the process of sanctification that God takes us through. And if it's lost sanctification, it's also lost perfection, which is the result of sanctification that God is bringing us through. So I wanted to actually sing a couple songs real quick, if I can. Maybe just one song, actually. This is a song, matter of fact, I need to pull my ears out and
hold on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. You can. So, can you hear me now? Perfect. This is a song by Rich Mullins. And this song is a kind of a description of what he felt going through the process of sanctification, going through a wilderness experience of his own. And I think the song probably come from this verse in Hebrews 12, 27. And it says, this word yet once more signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So I just want to give this a whirl and see how it works.
See the shadows on the western side, and all those illusions that I had, they just vanished in your light. Though the chill in the night still feel the warmth of morning on my face. Though the storm had tossed me till I thought I'd nearly lost my way, and now the night is through and the storm is past, and everything that could be shaken was shaken, and all that remains is all I ever really had. What I did settle brought me to, I thought I could not reach. I came so close to giving up, but you never did give up on me. I see the morning moving over the hill. See the rush of life here where the darkness broke. I am in you and you in me, here where the winds of heaven blow. Now the night is fading and the storm through, and everything you sent to shake me from my dreams, they come to wake me in the love I find in you. Now the morning comes, and everything that really matters becomes the wings you sent to gather me to my home. I'm going home.
that was a song of his wilderness experience. And it just dawned on me a few days, few weeks ago, that the very lifeline that God gives us that pulls us through these trials, struggles of life, is the very desire we have to be with him. And that desire pulling us through this sanctifying process, the purpose is to bring us into this perfection.
Thank you, Pat. That was awesome, brother. I love the lyrics of that. That's great.
That was the Lord. Gave it to me in one setting. And praise the Lord. So I'm going to...
Wait a minute, just one moment. When's the album coming out?
You heard the end of it. So that was, I really received a while back what I believe was kind of a vision or maybe a perspective that the Lord had at the beginning. And I'm going to try to blow through this a little bit quicker because I'm already running out of time. I figured that would happen. One point I think I wanted to make was that God is the master designer. And every designer, being in the construction business, I realized that every designer, every architect starts with the finished product with the idea and the vision of the finished product first. Starts on the finishes around the building, starts on the roof, what's going to be needed up there. The design is made. If you're in the northern country, you have to design a roof that's going to carry a load of 3 or 4 or 5 feet of snow and weight, and all these things have factors that work them their way down, down all the way down to the foundations. And you always start from the end vision, and God started He started with the picture of what he wanted for mankind. And he gave me, I'm not going to go into that because I don't have the time. So where he started with an end design in mind, and what he started, and he started that design in Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and sea, birds, etc. Verse 27, he said, and God created man in his own image. God created him, male and female, he created them. And it dawned on me a few weeks ago. Sorry about this. That as I think I was speaking to somebody's prayer or something before, but it dawned on me, why didn't God just call it a wrap? Why, in verse 26 there, he created man. Why didn't he, say, hey, bingo, I created man. We got this thing covered. Let's wrap it up and go to the house. This is it. He didn't do that. In the second chapter of Genesis, he formed man. He took that which was envisioned, the full package of what he wanted to accomplish, and he spoke it into existence in the first chapter, and then the second chapter, he started the formation process. And as I was thinking about why, I realized that God created man and then formed man, because the creation of man in the first chapter of Genesis wasn't the complete package. It was the starting of it. God had a vision to create man in his own image. And I believe that it's impossible for any one man to be able to represent that image, with the exception of Jesus. But even Jesus said, greater works will you do, because I go to the Father. So there was an aspect of, there's an aspect in this creation process that is also the formation of man after that, because he has a bigger picture in mind. So this bigger picture includes the necessity of a sanctification process, or this process which we call sanctification, the wilderness experience. It is there for a purpose. It's there to bring forth the completed package. It's the foundation of sanctification is in fact a foundation, but how many people would enjoy looking at a building or a construction project that never got out of the ground? It only had the foundation laid, and then they covered it over with ground. Might have the greatest foundation, but if it doesn't build and create the structure, it hasn't fulfilled its purpose. So I realized and realize now that there was a process that needs to take place in this sanctification process. And God's put a pattern in the scripture for it. And I believe it comes is in this pattern is that he puts in man. First, he puts a vision, and then he puts death to the vision. And then there's God's supernatural fulfillment of that vision. And we see this pattern throughout the word as we go through the word here. I'm going to give you a few examples of what that pattern is, what it looks like in the scripture. Abraham was given a vision of being the father of many nations. His carnal failure in Ishmael was death to that vision. The birth of Isaac was God's supernatural fulfillment of that vision. Abraham being given the promised son, or the vision, God commanding him to sacrifice his son, death to the vision, God providing himself a sacrifice on the mountain, which was God's natural fulfillment. Joseph being given a dream that he was going to be the ruler of his family, the vision or the dream. Then he was sold into captivity and death, and that was death to the vision. He was then raised into a position of second ruler of the kingdom, and he saved his people, God's supernatural fulfillment of that vision. Moses being saved out of the water and raised in the house of Pharaoh, the vision, and then was vanquished to wander in the desert wilderness, booted out of Egypt. That was death to the vision, and then called by God to send and to be his hand of deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt, God's supernatural fulfillment. Happens in Jesus. Jesus, the promised king, revealing miracles, signs, and wonders, the vision. Jesus crucified on the cross, death to the vision. Jesus being raised 3 days later, God's supernatural fulfillment of that vision. This happens in our born again experience, I believe, as we are born again into the kingdom of light. And then God brings a death to a specific vision within us. In my own particular case, took me through the religions and into failure and disillusionment and et cetera, death to the vision, and then brought me out on the other side. And I found a group like UBM and the teaching here. God brought life and a supernatural fulfillment of that vision. This process, I believe, happens throughout the scripture, and I believe God uses it in our life as well. And I'd like to want to kind of follow up and end with this these scriptures in Hebrews 12, 15 through 17. And even some have talked about this verse here, or at least I brought it into the chat tonight. It says, follow after peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. And I believe that this is one of these foundations in our modern day religious system that has been eroded away, discarded, and pushed away. It's not being believed today. It's not being taught, and it's not understood. As a matter of fact, when God brings this death to the vision, shall we say, into our life, many blame that those circumstances and that condition upon the devil and are not able to realize that this is God's hand and he does so for a purpose. He has brought us and separated us out of this land of darkness, and then through the sanctification process wants to bring that darkness out of us. If the foundation of sanctification has been removed, the end result is perfection has been removed, or the completion of the product, of the final product that God is building. God is building a temple. He's building a temple made without hands with his children that have grown up to be sons and daughters of the King. He's building a place, an environment that he can rest and is worthy of interaction with him. And why do I know that? Because he created us in his image. Hebrews, and then as I'm looking here, one of the reasons I believe that we tend to avoid the process of sanctification in our modern Christianity is avoided is because of verse 15. Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God. And of course, grace is that unmerited desire, that unmerited favor of God, placing his desire within our heart to walk in obedience to him. By faith are you saved or forgiven. By grace we have been saved through faith. So look diligently, look carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of this grace, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, that root of bitterness. I know that the Lord just gave me this definition a few weeks ago, actually, of bitterness that I was able to relate to. And bitterness is an unsatisfied sense of justice. And we being made in the form of God have an inner sense of justice that needs to, that wants to be fulfilled. It's a very strong motivation within us, and unbridled will lead us into bitterness, or will lead us into vengeance. Thus the Lord says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Bitterness in this unsatisfied sense of justice. But it says, lest any root of bitterness spring up in you. Well, we know what bitterness is. What is the root? What's the cause of bitterness? I believe that the only cause, or at least one of the major causes of bitterness, or this unsatisfied sense of justice, is unforgiveness. And unforgiveness, which is the root of bitterness, is this place of not forgiving others. One finds that they feel rejected, and rightfully so, from God's forgiveness. There's a sense that there's a missing element there. You're not forgiven. And in fact, that is true. In Matthew 6:14 and in many of the other verses in this Gospels, it says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And what the Lord is saying is that forgiveness or unforgiveness in us is separating us from the forgiveness and therefore the grace from God to be saved. And this brings us to the last verse in that section, verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one mess of meat sold his own birthright. And that was one of the things that I know that I had to address personally, and this was this concept of losing your salvation. I came through the Baptist tradition, and that was very strong in that once saved, always saved type of thing. And I found as an experience, and so I wrote this down, but it just, this is what came to me, that those that cling to eternal security and the statement that you can't lose your salvation, in one sense, they are correct. You can't lose your salvation. No one can take you out of God's hands. And Jesus said, my Father who is greater than me, and no one can take us out of his hands. However, that's a one side of the same truth. The other side of that truth that needs to be considered is what Esau did. For he sold his birthright. So even though we can't lose it, the scripture seems to indicate that we can certainly sell it. And this, being able to address this and relate to this, is a fear that we all need to address at one point in our life, is address that fear, is embrace that fear and walk into that fear. And God will release us in that fear. And just the point is that the cause of that clinging to that particular tradition or error goes back to bitterness, goes back to unforgiveness, goes back and has its root in unforgiveness. And that unforgiveness is what then separates us and keeps us away and from the understanding of the sanctification, which we all must go through in order to see God, in order to enter into that place, in order to be the fulfillment of what God has called and created each one of us to be. And so in closing, I just feel like it is God that is restoring us to restore the foundations, and some of these foundations like this, and to be able to understand them to the point where we can help people get through them. We can see the cause and effect relationships here, and that we can not only pray in faith, not only lead people in faith, but also help them overcome these things. I know one of the things related to forgiveness that the Lord gave me is that sense of vengeance that sense of justice needs to be satisfied, even in us. And the only proper and correct way of satisfying that sense of justice is to transfer over that is to that offense into God's hands and let him be the judge that only he is. We forgive by giving it over into God's hands and let him do his job. So that's basically the conclusion. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. Sorry for going so late, but Lord, we praise you for the work that you're doing in us, and we trust you for your guidance in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Pat. That was a good teaching and also a good concert, too. That was great. Get you up enough for 2 hours come Thursday night so we can have a concert from, I believe it was Tabitha that came up with your name, meaning it means praise and thanks. So, yeah, amen. I thought that was so good, Tabitha, you did good, girl. Amen. That's awesome. Anybody got any comments on what Pat just talked about? We got a little bit of time here. He must have been real thorough. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I always did like in Ephesians 5:26 for the sanctification verse, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word. But, you know, it gets you to think about the fulfillment and how God's supposed to fulfill this sanctification in you. And it made me think about how you're supposed to manifest and shine for the Lord. And it's, of course, through that omnipresent Holy Spirit everywhere, you know, the Spirit of truth, the fruits of the Spirit. And he did go into choice a bit too. It's like you have a choice to do this. And, when Jesus, for instance, was met with that woman who was caught in adultery, he didn't judge her. And of course, that's what also it says in 3:19 of John. You see, we want to arrive at that same kind of idea that he had there to not to judge the world, but to save. We're in Jesus's, we have Jesus in us, and we have to adapt to that. We have to copy that. We have to mimic him in that kind of way. You know, I was thinking earlier today, there was this pastor, he was going to be a new pastor at a church. And I thought that, you know, he put on a disguise. He went and got an old clothing. And everyone knew the new pastor was coming that day. Of course, he had someone on the inside who knew he was going to do this, but he didn't tell anybody. And he was just standing out there in front of the church, and everyone was dressed really nice. And no one greeted him because he was dressed like a bum on the street. And then everyone walked in and they all said, oh, the pastor's late or whatever. Maybe his car broke down. And he sat in the very back of the church. And then they said, okay, now we're going to bring the pastor forward, the one who was in on it. And of course, he walked up in his tattered clothing and fake hair and hat on. No one greeted this guy. And no one came up to shake his hand because of the way he was dressed. And I wondered about that. And that's kind of like a bad trick to play on the people. But I think he was trying to prove a point of how you should be like Jesus. It's a choice. It's sometimes hard to do. Something might hold a person back from doing that, or could be that you're too shy, or, you know, is God really moving me to do that? So, yeah, so it's a toughie. It's a choice. And if it presents itself, how far can you go talking about the Lord to someone, you know? Yeah. Anyway. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah, Carol, go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you. I was truly blessed by the music. It just gets us past the natural mind and off into the spirit. So that was amazing. I also got from the message that, you know, about the death. There was just something about dying to the vision and then resurrecting in the supernatural, which is, of course, Jesus. So that was really encouraging. And then I also got the part of, you know, that God's behind it all, really, like including those scary parts and confronting the fear. But I felt really encouraged about that one, that last part, in three ways. That's how I was touched by worship and the death. And then something in how you were sharing it was getting this amazing courage for all of us to really confront that very thing, or that next thing that is scary, and that the Lord is with us, and it's going to be amazing. It's just going to be another one of those walls that's going to come down, or a mountain being moved. So thank you, and God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Carol. Yeah, David, go ahead.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I think about Esau, especially, you know, he was profane, it said. And I put in a profane, he didn't really have a lot of reverence for things. He was, you know, kind of a very earthly man. Didn't really see much in the spiritual realm at all. Very much carnal. And so he didn't have the value of spiritual things like Jacob thought they were important. But he wanted them. He wanted to have those things, but he couldn't really, if he did have them, he wouldn't have any respect for it. He was irreverent, it says. You know, that's what profane means. And then when Jacob, the supplanter, you know, tricked him out of it, you know, for the one mess of meat and stuff. I mean, all I could think was, you know, he wanted to kill his brother at that point. You know, he was tired of this. He's done with this guy. And, you know, you can think about in your life where things have gone bad, especially maybe others have come against you and did things that weren't in any respect fair. Matter of fact, very unfair. And they tricked you or whatever it was. And they said things about you and it stuck that wasn't correct. You know, and you were defamed somewhere. Something was removed from you that was really shouldn't have been that. And you get mad. You get upset about it. You know, you get inside, you're thinking this is not right. And I'm sure Esau thought the same way in that way. He thought, you know what, this was just rotten. But he wasn't given the grace to overcome forgiveness. And he didn't want to forgive either because he didn't have that thought of forgiveness. At the end, you could see him and his brother came together and it looked like, you know, he might have made amends. He really wasn't out to destroy Jacob at that point, didn't look like. And I felt glad that the brothers could come together, but Jacob still wanted to keep his distance from him because he didn't trust him. Probably because after going through what he went through with his father, Laban, he didn't have a lot of trust and faith in men. So he learned he just kept his distance from those things. And it's unfortunate all these bad things happen between people to cause these hard feelings. You know, we can just pray that, you know, if you go through some time where you feel like things weren't fair to you in your life, that you learn to overcome them and forgive and not let it hold you back. And be honest with the Lord about it. Say, you know what, Lord, this really bothered me. And, you know, he put you through that in the first place because the Lord allows those things to happen. He allows you to see what's in your, you know, because, and if you're honest in talking to him, because that's one thing about God, he made us in his image. Means God's a lot, he's a lot like us. He's above us in a lot of ways, of course, but he made us a lot like us so he could relate to all of us very well. And we can relate to him. He wants that. And so if we're honest with the Lord and say, and trying to expose our heart and say, Lord, I need strength in this. I need your help. You know, I don't want to be an Esau or I'm profane or I got this hard heart and I don't want to be bad like that. And the Lord respects that. And I think we can have that grace from Jesus Christ too. We've seen how graceful he was with others. Unfortunately, we've seen it didn't work out so well for Judas. You know, Judas, he didn't. He was like an Esau's heart too. He didn't forgive. He was hard-hearted, and he worked against the Lord. And at the end, he knew he was wrong, but still, his way out was suicide. You know, I don't know. Bad things happen in the scriptures. We see examples. Just pray that we don't let those bad things come in our hearts and ruin us in the name of Jesus. And by faith, we won't let it happen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. I thought it was a good message myself.
Yeah, it was good. Very good. That's why I was commenting on Esau anyways.
Yeah. Pat, don't get the big head because we can bring you down too. You don't understand that, don't you?
Yeah, there comes Tuesday.
Thursday. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we're down. Anybody need to pray about anything before we close her out tonight? Just to do it. All right, let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this anointed message that Pat gave out tonight. I thank you for giving him all of those wonderful revelations in it, Lord. And Lord, place it in our hearts to take it to our spirit and then put it in our mind. Renew our mind with this message tonight. We praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody tonight with your good night's sleep, or if they're not nighttime, a good day for tomorrow, because I know there are tomorrow ahead of us. And we thank you, Lord, that they are having a great time, and we're going to find out about it tomorrow, Thursday. And we thank you for it. We praise you, Lord, that Thursday night we're going to have a great time in our praise and worship. And thank you, Lord, for Pat's song that he's going to sing that night as well. And I'm serious about that, Pat. I'd like for you to do that again, if you don't mind. And Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. What about Tuesday? What's today? This is Thursday, isn't it? I'm talking about next week. You got all week to practice that, buddy.
What are we talking about here now?
You're praising every week. No.
Praise and worship come next Thursday.
You're putting me on the line here.
Well, we'll pass the hat for you. I'll take it up. Yeah, Missy.
Hey, thanks, Pat. Thanks for everything.
Missy, go ahead.
Michelle put a prayer request in the chat.
Okay.
Oh, it's okay. I didn't mean to stop you guys. I just was kind of saying as you go, if you could pray, okay, I'd appreciate pray. It.
We're going to put you in.
Father, we lift up Michelle. we lift up Michelle to you. We thank you, Father. for the faith that she has and everybody here. We just praise you, Father, that tonight she's going to be set free in the name of Jesus right now. Devil, the word says in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes we were healed. And in the name of Jesus, you go from her. Every spirit of infirmity, leave her body now. I don't have to mention who you are. I just need you to go. In Jesus' name, matter of fact, I command it by the power and authority and the blood of Jesus. You leave her body and take all your symptoms with her. And Father, I thank you that she is completely healed. Body be free, be whole in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for purifying her blood from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, Amen. She is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody Amen. Believe that? Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you. Praise God. And I receive that. Everything. Amen. Thank Amen. You. Thank you.
Thank you.
We all agree.
Thank yes. you.
You are healed, girl.
Oh, you guys are great. Thank you.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Bye, y'all.
Good night.